bishul, cooking. Now the question really is how are you over on the halacha of bishul? How should you cook in order to be over on the halacha of bishul? Min haTorah and min haRabbanan. One is allowed to cook with chama, with sun, and with toldot chama is asur. And the question is, where is microwave comes into this? Is cooking with microwave, is it sumid or aitar, sumid or rabbanon, or maybe is mutar or is asur? What is microwave comes in? Because microwave, if you think about it, is a big machloket bishul akum, would apply to with microwave bichlal. If, let's say you have a goy, cooks through a microwave, is it considered bishul akum or no? Because when Chachamim made a gezera of bishul akum, they made a gezera only through fire. And bishul akum, and microwave is not fire. And according to, if it's toldot chama is asur mid rabbanan, then it would be a sheila if cooking through microwave is asur. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, as a teshuva, that does not talk about microwave, but it talks about the toldot chama, and it says, if the derech ha'olam is to cook through something, that is considered sumi d'oraita, and therefore microwave holds, according to this teshuva of Rav Moshe, comes out to be somebody cooked through with microwave, it's also sumi d'oraita, and one is not allowed to do that. And the question wasn't, is it mutar or is asur? The question was, is it midoraita or midrabanan? But according to this Rav Moshe teshuva, it's mashmaid, is midoraita. Now, isur bishul also applies even if the food is not cooked completely. In other words, if you take a food and cook it a little bit, you are over on isur midoraita of cooking. And if you cook it all the way, even the shlish bishul, one third of the bishul, you also you are over on the isur of bishul too. One is not allowed to put the food close to fire. If you know by putting the food there, the food is gonna reach yat soledet bo. That's also is a sort to, even though that the food is not gonna cook, by the fact that it's gonna get to yat soledet bo, that also is a sort to do that. The reason is a sort is because shema ishkach, and you might forget and leave it there for a longer time. Therefore, one is not allowed to do that as a gezera. Now, even if a food is cooked half or third, and you're going to continue cooking more, that also you are over on the isur of bishul too. Even though that the food is ra'uy la'achila, is edible the way it is, but the fact you're cooking it more, you still are over on the isur of bishul. If you put a food inside a kli rishon, right, and through the kli rishon, even though that the kli rishon was taken away from the fire, and you put something inside the kli rishon and is going to be cooked, you also over on the isur of bishul. I'm giving you all the halachot, then I'm going to give you the practical implications of each one. Now, lefi halacha kli sheni lo mevashel. Second kli that's on the vashel, but there are certain things that we call kale abishul. There are things that is very easy to be cooked. Those, according to halacha, kale abishul also is cooked betoch kli sheni. Lafi halacha, the halacha is accepted that kli sheni is on the vashel, but kale abishul, the food that are easily cooked, is cooked also betoch kli sheni. We are going to discuss later what is kale abishul, what's considered foods that easily are cooked, and is a big, big machloket, which food are in the category of kale abishul. Now, I'll tell you right now. Today, bizman has all the poskim agree, Mishaberura, Chazmonish, Ramoshe, Milchadis, everybody agrees that because we are not baki, we don't know, we are not an expert to know what is considered kale abishul, therefore, I'm making it easy and simple, no one should put anything kli sheni. Everything should be done betoch kli shlishi, because anything could come to the category of kale abishul. Rav Avadi also holds that the same thing, that if because we don't know what is considered kale abishul, Therefore, one should not use kli shni on Shabbat to cook or to do anything, because we are not sure if that item that they are putting inside the food is considered kala bishul or not. The question is, when you have a soup, let's say, taking off the fire, you want to put salt, pepper, or any other spices on it, is the spices considered kli shni or no? Is it considered kala bishul or no? That's really the question. Some people, Rav Ovadia is mekel. He says that you are allowed to put tavlinin, the spices you could put on kli shni. There are others that hold that even tavlinin, even spices, one should not put on kli shni, should put it on kli shlishi. Now, the question that comes up, tea bags. Is one allowed to use a tea bag on Shabbat, and how one is allowed to use a tea bag, and what are the questions with tea bag? According to Chazon Ish, if the water is yet soleded, but doesn't matter how hard the water is, doesn't matter what number keli is also to use tea bag on Shabbat. They are not allowed to cook, and that's what in Eretz Israel, the Bnei Barak, that's what they hold, that tea bag is asur to use it on Shabbos, no matter what number kli. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that tea bag is considered kale abishul, and one is allowed to use kli shilishi to make tea bag on Shabbos. And that's what we hold, that one is allowed to use kli shilishi to make a tea bag. Rav Ovadia holds that you could pour from kli sheni onto tea bag. And said the Irui Mikli Sheni also would be sufficient enough that there shouldn't be a Bishul. But La'alacha, we paskin that Kli Shilishi, that according to most poskim, Kli Shilishi is fine and could use it. Now, the other question that really comes out with tea bag is, how are you going to take it out? Because it could be a She'ela of Borer. When you have the tea bag sitting inside the water and you want to get the tea bag out, would be a She'ela of Borer. It really is not simple, but if you want to be yotzei the kulam, just take a spoon, take a little water out with a tea bag, and then everybody would agree that it's not a borer. But really, the truth is, I don't think it's a borer bichlal, because a tea bag is borer ve'omed. It's already separate, it's big enough, inside the water is not mixed up. Borer is only if two things are mixed up. Tea bag with the water is not mixed up, and therefore she'elah borer would not really apply. The real shela with the other shela with the tea bag is the water that drips from the tea bag. Is that really would be a shela with that or no? The simplest thing is to do to just take a spoon and take a little water with a tea bag out. This way, no, it's no shela bichla. The halacha of Gemara said on Shulchan Aruch Paskins, en bishul achar bishul v'davar yavesh. There is no bishul. You cannot cook. Something is already cooked if the item that you are dealing with is a dry food. Therefore, one is allowed to put, as we said last week, one is allowed to warm up food which is dry on top of plate, a warming table, the plata chashmalit. I don't want to use any other words, because I don't think they have it in America. It has to be a plate that there's no setting on them, is only set one way. That's items you are allowed to use. You are allowed to warm food on top of that on Shabbos. People asked last week, which I think I addressed that, is one allowed to warm a dry food on top of a blech? The Rav Ovadia is mekel. He says you are allowed to do that, but the Olam is not noeg like that. The welt is not noeg. The reason is we are not noeg because it could be michzik mevashel. Now nobody cooks top of the fire. The question is, what is michzik mevashel means? Michzik mevashel is it because nobody does it, or it could be done, right? But the truth is that on top of a blech, it could really be, people could cook. Therefore, if somebody has, the only thing that you have available is a blech, you should put another tray there, empty pot, and put the food on top of that. Then you are allowed to use the blech also to warm a dry food also. Now, what about if you have a food that had a little bit liquid in it? Rav Ovadia holds that if the food is mostly dry, you could warm it on Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that that as long as the majority of the food, he says, l'chatechila should be completely dry. That's what Rav Moshe says. But he says, b'shat, if somebody on a Shabbos, it's only, let's say you have chicken, a little bit gravy in it, now the gravy is sitting on top of the chicken, it says also you could warm the food on Shabbos. It said that it uses the lashon of b'shat at the chag. He says, l'chatechila has to be 100% dry. Davar lach, if something is liquid, we say, yesh bishul achar bishul v'davar lach, you know the Rambam holds that then bishul achar bishul v'davar lach also, but we don't paskin like Rambam. If you are Yemenite, you paskin like Rambam, but we don't, the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like Rambam, therefore we hold that yesh bishul achar bishul v'davar lach. Now, the question is, what is considered davar lach? That also is a big machloket haposkim, that what is the Rav Eliashiv lemashal holds, that ketchup is not davar lach. Even though that you could pour the ketchup, he holds that Rav Shlomo Zalman holds all the same thing, that ketchup is not considered davar lach, considered davar yavesh. Now, how do you explain what davar lach is? Rav Shlomo Zalman Minchat Shlomo, it's Shelot Shot Sefer holds, it says like this. So davar lach means anything that by warming it is going to have a better quality, and these people are going to use it better, that's a davar lach. Davar yavesh means that warming it and not warming it is not such a chiluk, not big difference. Therefore, the definition between davar lach and davar yavesh is by warming it, how much you're going to use it better, how people are going to look at it. Therefore, he says that things is, and the word that we say to ourselves, that anything is liquid is davar lach, anything that is not liquid is davar yavesh. That's not 100% true. Therefore, one has to be careful that when you deal with davar lach and davar yavesh, how do you explain davar lach and davar yavesh? Another thing with davar lach is, let's say something is like jello, right? If you have a jelly, it's not considered davar lach, right? Davar lach means that, let's say you have a gravy, put it in the freezer, the gravy is, even though that when you take it out of the freezer, it looks like davar yavesh, but in nature is davar lach, you treat it as a davar lach. But if something in nature is not davar lach, but it, that when you put it in the freezer, and there was, when you see it like a jello is davar yavesh, even though when you put it on the fire, becomes davar lach, that's not a problem. Because the nature is not davar lach. This is a very important nekuda. There's a lot of things that really could come out, that la'alakha would make a big difference, that what's considered davar lach, what's considered davar yavesh.
What's cholent?
Cholent is davar yavesh, for sure.
So you can put cholent on a chashmalit?
It depends what kind of cholent you have. You have a dry cholent or you have a liquid cholent. Depends what kind of cholent. I have to give a shur on how to make cholent. The question's later. The question's again later. Right, now, there's a very major machloket between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, which makes a world of difference in halacha. This is one of the biggest machloket, Shulchan Aruch and Rema, which would in the Chos Shabbos would make a tremendous difference, that even could make a she'ela if one allowed to eat in the other one's house. Shulchan Aruch says, "En bishul achar bishul." Everybody agrees that there is no she'ela. But is there a bishul achar afiya, bishul achar tzliya, bishul achar tichun, bishul achar Sli, is there or is not? Shulchan Aruch holds that en bishul achar afiyah, en bishul achar Sli, en bishul achar what's the other one I said? Bishul tigun. All three of them, Shulchan Aruch Hot is no Shela. Remahot, Yesh Bishul Achar Afiyah, Yesh Bishul Achar Tzli, Yesh Bishul Achar Tigun. Now, what does that mean? That means, let's talk about in a very simple term. Kugel. Kugel is a Zavar Yavesh, is a dry food. You want to warm up a piece of kugel on Shabbos. Right? As a kugel, is it the afiyah or is it the bishul? Rov HaPoskim hold that kugel is afiyah, is not bishul. Because the way, this is you baking kugel, you are not cooking kugel. When you put, you make kugel on Shabbos, put it in the oven, you're baking it. Now Shabbos morning, you're taking that piece of kugel, put it on top of the peletah chashmalit, it's considered bishul. You are warming a piece of kugel on Shabbos, which would be a sheila in Al-Khadad, you are not allowed to do that. According to Ashkenazi. According to Sephardim, is that a sheila? And then they say, how far does it go? Now you take a piece of challah, right? You take a piece of challah from the refrigerator, and let's say in the freezer, and you're taking, putting top of the your hot water urn on top of peletah chashmalit. Behold, that the kol shohanet etan shulchan aruch en afiya achar afiya. When you take a piece of bread and you put it on top of the blech, or not top of the peledah chashmali, to warm it up, you are making yesh efiyah. If you leave it there long enough to become crispy, you are over on the halachah efiyah harafiyah. According to Rema. According to Shulchan Aruch, would not be a problem. Now,
so you can't put the challah on top of the
challah. You can, but you have to take it out before it becomes crispy. Because once it becomes crispy, then you are over on the halacha of afiyah, which is you are not allowed to do. Another thing, a Turkish coffee. How many people use Turkish coffee on Shabbos? A lot of people use Turkish coffee. Turkish coffee is not cooked. It's kliya. Right? It's roasted. According to Rema, yesh bishul achar kliya also. When you pour that Turkish coffee in hot water, according to Rema, you are not allowed to do that. According to Shulchan Aruch, you are. Now, if according to Rema, you have to put in kli shlishi, you want to use Turkish coffee, you have to put in kli shlishi, because, as we said before, if you could use a tea bag on kli shlishi, you could use a Turkish coffee on kli shlishi also. According to Mechaber, you could use it even in kli rishon. There's not a shayla of yesh bishulacha kliya. You understand that is a mamash big machlok at HaPoskim. How do you go about this? And it could tremendous halachot on Shabbos when people are at home and dealing with she'elot. This she'ela is one of the most biggest she'elot that people have their home on Shabbos. That how to warm food, is it considered tzliya, is it considered bishur, is it considered this, considered that. Another thing, people have a cholent, a warm cholent, they put on their plate, they sit there, and they have kugel or chicken. They get a cold chicken or cold kugel on the plate, and the cholent is davar yavesh, right? And they put in the hat, put in the thing, it doesn't make a difference, is it kelir shon, kelir shen, kelir shilishi, right? When you put in the plate, you put a cold cholent, a cold kugel in there, you are over at Yisur HaFishur HaKharafiyah. You have to be very, very careful. How do you deal? So you have, let's say you take a pickle, and you put it inside your plate, and your plate has a very warm chicken, right? And the chicken is under the kugel. Kugel is really afiyah, and everybody thinks kugel is bishul. It's not a bishul at all. And when you take something else and put it next to that kugel, you are over on the isur of bishul acharafiyah.
Even if it's in the
Klishish? No, Klishish is not a problem. That makes a chiluk like this. Davar gush, there is no difference between Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi.
And that's assuming it gets the Yatz lettuce?
Yeah, it has to be hot. It's cold in the pot. It has to be.
Does it have to get the kugel to Yatz lettuce?
Yes. If the kugel is Yatz lettuce, if people warm it up, let's say, if you did it, right, if you didn't know the halacha. Or let's say Friday night, you took it out of your oven, brought it at the table, you had a cold chicken, right? or rice or whatever, cold rice or cold whatever, I don't know what, and you put it there and you put your kugel there, then is a mamash, is a shela of this. Now I want to clarify one thing. According to Halacha, Basar, Chalav, Davar, Gush, Shach, this is a Chumrah of Shach. Shach says that Davar, Gush, something is solid, no liquid in it. If it's hot, doesn't matter, Kele Sheni, or Kele Sheleshi, or Kele Revi, or Kele Chamishi, doesn't matter. If it's Yad Soledet, though, it's Mevashel. And it doesn't matter. It cooks. It doesn't matter where you put it, Davar, Gush is Mevashel. Mishnah Berura does not, Mishnah Berura is Maker. But majority of the poskim, Chazonish and everybody else, are machmir in this halacha, and the Rav Avadia Yosef also lachatchila is machmir that one has to be even davar gush is even if it's keli shlishi, as long as it's hot, it's still mevashel. Therefore, if you take a piece of chicken and that piece of chicken is hot, is boiling, even if put in the keli shlishi, you have a problem. You have to be very careful not to put anything on top of that. Lechat Achila Rav Avadia Yosef also Mekel. This is a puzzle to me. If Mishnah Berura is Mekel, why would it be Machmir? That's what I don't understand. The Maaseh Mishnah Berura, if you look at the Biur Halachon, Shin Yudchet, Mishnah Berura, the Maaseh comes out, that's clear that comes out that is Mekel. But a lot of poskim are machmir on this halacha by the Davar Gush.
How likely is it that a piece of chicken is going to heat up a piece of kugel to yad lettuce?
Depends how hot is the chicken. Depends how hot is the chicken. And listen, if you have a very boiling hot piece of chicken coming, putting on your plate, and you put rice, a cold rice there, that mevasher.
To yad lettuce?
Yeah, yes. Yes, hot chicken could do that. Now, other thing is, mixing up food, when you have a ladle and you're mixing up food on Shabbos, that's also is a big, big problem with it. What's the problem? As if you remember last week, I said that in order not to get into any shaylot, make sure your food is completely 100% cooked on Shabbos. One of the reasons because of this. If you get that a Friday night, you get a ladle and you want to mix your food, or your soup is less shayla. Let's say you have a thick soup. You want to mix it up, right? If the food is not cooked completely by mixing it up, you are mamash mevashel on Shabbos. You're cooking on Shabbos. Because it could be something is not cooked on top of the soup, and you, by mixing it, it's going to go under, and you're cooking it on Shabbos. Now, what happens if it's completely cooked? La'alacha, you could even mix it in, even if the food's on top of the fire. You don't have to move it. The Rav Moshe Feinstein says that one should try to remove the part from top of the fire, even if the part is sitting in the top of the blech, then move it on the side and mix it up and take it out. Then it's a much less challenge. But you have to make sure that the food is completely cooked. By soup, Rav Moshe holds, that is not a problem. You are allowed to dish a soup out, even if the soup is sitting on top of the fire, because the issur of agasa, magis, does not apply to water. Once the water was boiled at one time, that's considered cooked, and it's not a problem. Same thing, Rabbi, because of that, Rav Moshe says that one is allowed to get water out of dot shemesh. We don't have dot shemesh in America, in Eretz Yisrael we have. You are allowed to get it out of that, because once the water got to that point, it's not a problem of Bishul. Now, we spoke about the Keli Rishon and Keli Sheni, and we know what Keli Shlish is. What halacha a ladle has? What status ladle would have? Is ladle Keli Rishon? Is it Keli Sheni? Is Keli Shlish? What is it? What's the problem? When you put a ladle inside the soup, and you take the soup out, right? And once you take it out of the soup and you put it inside your bowl, is that ladle becomes a keli sheni, or the ladle is the extension of keli rishon? Makes a big nafka min ala halacha. Because how the people take their soup to the table, you dish it out of the pot, put it inside the individual bowls, and then you take it to the table. And everybody wants to put spices on their soup. We said that one should use kli shlishi to put spices. Now, if the ladle has a din of kli rishon, then your bowl has a din of kli sheni. If the ladle has a din of kli sheni, then your bowl has a din of kli shlishi. So the most of poskim hold that the ladle has a din of extension of kli rishon. It does not have a din of kli sheni. The reason is because just we take it in and take it out. Taking it out is not, it doesn't, and also what people do, they use the ladle to mix the soup and stays there long enough and it becomes, that it warms up and the ladle becomes part of the pot. Therefore, one should be machmir. Dayan Weiss holds like that, that one should be machmir and treat a ladle as a keli rishon. Now, the other question is, let's say Shabbos morning you get up and you want to have a cup of tea or coffee, and you have a cup. You wash your cup and you want to pour water in it. There are drops of water sitting on your cup, and then you pour water from the hot water air inside your cup. That drops of water that is there is going to be cooked. The question is, should one dry those cups before you pour your coffee or hot water from the urn, or you don't have to do that? That's also machloket haposkim. The Shevet Halevi holds that you don't have to do that. The reason is, he said, because it's a pesikresha de lo ichpatle, right? Rav Ovadia also holds like that. You could be mekel not to do it. Rav Moshe and Dayan Weiss are machmir. And they say that because it's mamash pesikresha, it could be sur midoraita by putting the hot water to it. Therefore, one should be machmir and dry your cup before you do that. This, because of this, there is another issue. According to this Rav Moshe, there is another problem. The other problem is, if when you take a ladle, you take your soup out, then you wait a minute before you go into the second time, because the ladle has the drops of water, soup sitting on it, and it's cold, you could be over on the Isur of Bishul also. Therefore, according to Rav Moshe, every time that you want to put your ladle inside your soup, you have to dry it up before you dish the soup out. According to Rav Ovadia, and Shevet Halevi, you don't have to do that. La Alacha, behold, that it's not a problem. If you could do that by Matov and Tavola Veracha, by La Alacha, you don't have to dry your ladle, you don't have to dry your cup in order to put hot water in it.
If it's dry, it's a problem.
It's all the question. Let me hold it because I need to be focused. Now, if somebody wants to warm up, let's say you have a small child and you have milk and you want to warm up a milk on Shabbos, again, because it's davar lach, you cannot put it on top of the peleta chashmalit. You have to put it away from the fire, and you have to make sure it doesn't get to yatzoledet. If you're putting it there, there's a machloket like this: when you put a cup of a bottle of milk in a place, and if you put it long enough, it's gonna get to yatzoledet. Are you allowed to put it in there and take it out fast enough before it gets to yatzoledet, though? Or lechatechila, you have to put it in a place that even if you leave it for 3 hours, it doesn't get to yatzoledet, though. Rova poskim hold that the place cannot get to yatzoledet, though. And if it gets to yatzoledet at one point, then you are not allowed to use that space to warm up your milk. Other poskim hold, it doesn't matter. Leave it there. Stay out there. Stand right there and take it out before it gets to yatzoledet, and it could use that. This is what the Rav Ovadia Yosef holds, and the other poskim also hold like that. Therefore, it's not a problem. Now, covering up if you have putting a cover on top of top of your pot on Shabbos, that you are allowed to do that only if you know for a fact that your food is cooked completely. If the food is not cooked, by covering it up, you're really cooking on Shabbos, because you're pushing the food to be cooked faster, and it would be a shela. Now, using humidifier and dehumidifier on Shabbos. Obviously, using a humidifier on Shabbos is asur, the mama she'elav bishul, because when putting water in there, you are cooking on Shabbos. Now, that's pashut. Now, what about if you have young children, somebody has very bad cold, or you have elderly people that they really need steam on Shabbos? They need that humidifier running, and there's no way could put enough water to run the whole Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch holds that if somebody gets to a gather of Chole Shein Bo Sakana, you are allowed to ask a goy to do it. And this also, the humidifier also, you are allowed to ask a goy to put the hot water in it in order to fill it up, and the water cooks on Shabbos, humidifier. The humidifier, the cold air, that you are allowed to do it yourself is not a problem, and you could even do it on Shabbos. The air purifier, that also, because it's not, you are not cooking anything, that also you are allowed to do that. You are allowed to fill up the purifier also on Shabbos. That's not a problem either. We spoke about last week that is one allowed to use hot water urns that they have the gauge. You see how much water is in there. Now, the question with that is, I don't know if you spoke about this last week. So, what did I say? I don't remember what I said. That was okay, before, I said it's okay?
Yes.
That's what I understand. Okay. And if we spoke about that, the reason that we said, I said, l'chatechila, one shouldn't use it. But the poskim holds is okay. The reason is okay because it's pesik reisha, the lo shpatle. I don't care if the water goes in. And therefore, you are allowed to do that. That's really would be the halacha, and therefore is not a problem too. And also is the var shalomit kaven. I don't care if the water goes in there. I don't want the water to go in there, and I don't have a kavana to cook anything. And there, because of that, is if bimkom asorach, if you have nothing else, you are allowed to use lechatechila. One shouldn't do that. The reason I'm saying lechatechila shouldn't do that because Rav Eliashiv, I didn't say it in writing, but I heard that he raised the issue with this, and he holds that it could be a problem. Therefore, it's not, when it comes to Hilchot Shabbat, should try not to get into a machlok. If you could resolve it without to getting machlok, do it that way. Now, using hot water on Shabbos, so everybody knows the one you are not allowed, you can't use the hot water on Shabbos. Now, what happens, and this is interesting, she'ela, it's a mamash interesting chakira. What happens if somebody Shabbos morning goes into to the bathroom, opens the hot water, and 2 minutes later, so, oi, Shabbos, right? Are you allowed to close it, or you have to leave it open the whole Shabbos? What's the problem? Either way, there is a problem with it. So if you leave it on the whole Shabbos, then every minute that is on, the cold water goes in. You started it, and the cold water goes in. If you close it, then also the whole cold water that went in there is going to cook faster. If you leave it open, the cold water that went in there doesn't cook that fast, but when you close it, it's going to cook faster. So what do you do? There's also the big dilemma in poskim. But la'alacha, you should close it. Better to close it. The reason is better to close it is because when you close it, you are only over on the grama. It's only when you, because the first water that went in was your action. Every water that goes in after that is only a grama. Pesik reisha de lo neichal alede grama. Then it could be made and not have to worry about that. That's the best way, that's the better way. But the arm post came hold that they shouldn't do, they should leave it open. But if it open the whole Shabbos, it could be upset Naruba for some people, it could cost you a lot of money. What if somebody opens 6 o'clock Friday night and he has to leave it until 7 o'clock on Say Shabbos, that's a lot of money. And therefore one is, it could be made to close it up. Now, using instant coffee on Shabbos. We said before that instant coffee, most of instant coffees are cooked already, and everybody holds them. Bishul achar bishul. Again, you have to make sure that for according to Rama, that is not roasted coffee. If the coffee is roasted, then you have a problem of using it. You have to be dafka use it on Kli Shlishi. But if you're using a regular instant coffee, everybody could be makel use it on Kli Sheni because it's cooked and bishul achar bishul. There's not a problem. But the Rav Ovadia says something very interesting on this. He says that you should, even though the dem bishul achar bishul, be'emet you could use a Kli Rishon, you could pour water from Kli Rishon top of the coffee, but he says you should do it Kli Sheni. Should not use it as I don't understand why he says that. I don't understand, because if he pashtut of Shulchan Aruch, mashma, doesn't make a difference. If it's en bishul achar bishul, the coffee is not mevushal, you could pour hot water from the air, and it's not a problem. But he says that the chatechila one should use, should pour it inside the clay, pour water, then pour the hot water over that. Now, the other question that a lot of people asked was using instant soup on Shabbos. Right? What would be the halacha regarding that? Instant soup, the way I found out, is cooked, completely cooked. But it's not ra'ul akhila. It's not edible. You can't eat it the way it is. Right? How, what is the shayla with it? Shayla is, do we say makah b'patish b'ochlin, or we don't say makah b'patish b'ochlin? What is makah b'patish? Makah b'patish means that if something is not finished and you finish it off, is a problem. Right? Let's say that the classic case of the Gemara is that if you have a jacket is already built and sewed and ready to go, there's something there, you have to pull something, pull a piece of thread out, and then the jacket is ready to be worn. That's what the Gemara said, you cannot do, because that's a makah patish. You're putting a last touch onto the item, and because of your last touch, that item is going to be usable. Now, the question is with the soup. The soup is completely cooked. Misad alachot Shabbat, and bishul achar bishul, everything is cooked completely, and just pouring the water, you are not cooking anything, you're just making it edible. Are you allowed to do that? So Arab Ovadia holds is not a problem. We don't say makab patish legabe ochlin. Shevet HaLevi Arab Wazner holds that you cannot do it because of the shayla of makab patish legabe ochlin. That's very good. Instant coffee, you can eat it the way it is. People do that. You know, I tell you why, because there is a big machloket, what beracha you make on coffee. There is a machloket. Do you make A.S. or do you make A.S. or you make shakol? Why the machloket? I think the halachot ketanot that says the reason the machloket is the way the coffee is, people eat coffee the way it is. Right? Therefore, it's not totally makabe patish. That soup, the instant soup, no way anybody could eat it the way it is. Right? It's not edible. Right? When you put hot water, you're making it totally edible, and that could be a shayla. The whole question, a few more minutes. Okay, the other thing is TSN. You're making a TSN on Shabbos. What? How do you use a TSN? The best thing is to do, you put it inside a Kli Sheni. Have the water in Kli Sheni, and then you put the TSN into that also. Now, the question really that, according to Rema, that we said, Yesh Bishul Acharafiya, this halacha really comes out. If, let's say, you have a very hot soup, comes into the table, and you want to put bread, and on Pesach, you're putting matzah inside your soup. It's a big shayla. You are not allowed to do that. Because the matzah is afiya, and then you're putting it inside the soup, yesh bishul achar afiya. Right? You cannot, then you have to be kli shlishi, you have to make sure that the soup comes into the table, and you want to pour water in, and put bread, or matzah, or anything else, or this small, what they call
croutons.
Huh? Croutons, that's right. Those also, they bake them. They are not cooked. That one?
They're fried.
Fried? So fried also is a problem. That also would be a problem. I'm sorry?
Wait till the soup
cools. Or kilishilishi. If you do it kilishilishi, then it's not a problem. Now, frying. When you have something fried, is the frying considered bishur or is considered tzliya? Is it considered cooking or is considered roasting? Right. If it's considered cooking, something is fried, you could put it inside the hot soup and it's not a problem. But if it's considered tzliya, then it would be a problem. The machlok of Shlomo Zalman Arba holds it is considered bishur. The Rav Shevet HaLevi holds considered tzliya. That's the machlok. Therefore, it comes out to be that if you don't want to get involved in the machlok, then you should put. If you have something fried, you should put in kli shlishi. Do not use in kli shlishi. So for Sephardim, is not a problem. As we said that in bishul achar tzliya would not be a problem, but for Ashkenazim that they olech achar arama, they pass in like the arama, you have to be careful to put it on kli shlishi. And listen, when it comes machloket, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Shevet HaLevi, you can't. Who are you going to go by? They're both gedolim. When it comes to this type of things, you have to paskin that try to do the best you can and do it. It's easy to do, but if, again, when it comes to this type of machloket between poskim, the chatechila one should be machmir. But if you can, let's say you have a guest and there's no other way to go get around that, then it could be maker and somechan shevet alejan arav shel zalman Auerbach to do that. The chatechila one should be machmir to do it. Now, the other question somebody asked me this week, that the weather was very cold. Shabbos morning, you want to wash your hand, you want to wash your face, you want to mix hot and cold water together to wash your hand or your face. How can you mix up cold water with hot water on Shabbos? Now, if you are allowed to pour hot water inside the cold water, if you finish, the water is still yet solidified, then it's asur. But if the amount of the water they put in after you finish is not yet solidified, then it's mutar. Understand? You are allowed to put the water, but it has to be enough that the water after you finish putting aside the cold water is not yet solidified anymore. It has to be what? Even for addition, put it at one time. You cannot do it slowly. You have to put it at one time. Once you put it in there, the water, the end result is not the absolute, though, then it's not. But otherwise, it's a problem.
Why can't I just put in Kilishilishi?
Fine, put Kilishilishi. Then fine. If you want, that could do that also. Now, the other application of Bishula Harafi and all that would be also using cookies and dip it inside a coffee or tea. That also would be a Shaila. If you have, let's say you want to have cookies on Shabbos, and you have a hot tea from Kilishani, let's say, and you dip your cookies in there, that also, according to Rama, would be a problem of that too. Okay, I'm ready for a question.